Blog Talk Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Blog Talk Radio appears to be half down again. What else is new? I don't know if you can hear us or you can't hear us. This is actually becoming a bit of a joke. I really think our connection with Blog Talk Radio will be ending in the very, very near future. So stay tuned, and we will have to update you on where we'll be going. This is obviously no longer a functionable site. It goes down at the rate of about, every three or four shows, you're down for a month. And I have no idea if we're even on the air as we speak. Anyway, folks, if you can hear us, I guess I'll continue with the show. And I guess I'll continue as if you can. Blog Talk has given me no indication. They've given me no way to see the callers. They've given me no way to punch in the theme music or anything else. So, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, folks, welcome to the wacky world of Blog Talk Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will try to discuss the world of professional wrestling. There's no point in giving you the number. You're not going to be able to call in. Blog Talk doesn't care. They take your money, and they do nothing. So you can hit us up in the chat room. If the chat room actually loads, we have no idea whether it will actually load or not. Yes, I'm very disgruntled with this. I really am. This is a service that really is just absolutely 100% inadequate at this point. And one that we will not be using very much longer, I can tell you. Anyway, studio seems to be up after just about 10 minutes of the show. Let's see.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Amazing. It works now. Unbelievable. Anyway, folks, let's jump right into it. I'll give you the number. I guess maybe the phone lines are working now. It's 563-999-3065, 563-999-3065. If you'd like to attempt to give us a call, you can hit us up in the chat room. That works about once every 6 to 8 episodes. I could spend the whole hour telling you how frustrated I am with this service, but that's not what you tuned in for. So let's talk a little bit about CM Punk, because according to Booker T, and you have to take this kind of lightly, because Booker T is infamous for giving you misinformation on purpose to try to stir up some controversy and try to stir up some fan interest and things. Remember when he said he had a big feud going with Corey Graves, and that turned out to be just a work that I don't even know why they were working, because Booker T don't wrestle anymore and neither does Corey Graves, but they pretended to be at each other's throats for whatever reason, just with a grain of salt. But apparently Booker T went on his broadcast and said that he and CM Punk almost got into a physical altercation backstage at NXT. So whether this is a work or not, I don't know. I don't know who it would serve. Booker T doesn't wrestle, and CM Punk is injured. But again, he's done it before. But if it's not a work, then this CM Punk is the Blog Talk Radio of professional wrestling. Very seldom works, dysfunctional when it does work, and doesn't play well with others. And to be honest with you, this would be the last straw. If this is the truth, and those two almost came to to blows backstage at NXT, then I just don't know. I don't know how you think CM Punk's going to take over NXT from Shawn Michaels if he can't even get along with bona fide superstars who have been around forever. How's he going to get along with the young? I tell you, how's he going to get along with the young crowd? Do exactly as I say, or I fire you. That's not going to work. Just not. So I don't know, folks. You take it the way you want to take it. I am leaning toward it being some kind of a weird work, and I'll tell you why. Because Booker T initially said he didn't want CM Punk back. He did say that. He said CM Punk was fired from WWE. He was not. He did not walk out. He was fired. He then said he also was fired from AEW for cause. And he didn't know why the WWE would ever consider taking him back or what he had to offer. But then he posted, after CM Punk came back, that he ran into CM Punk. They talked it out. He seems like he's in a different headspace. And everything seems to be good. Now, all of a sudden, we hear, I ran into him backstage, and we almost came to blows. I don't know whether it's a work or not, Mike, but if it's not, here we go again.
Here we go again. I mean, look, I have nothing against Booker T. Yeah, he may put out misinformation or disinformation or whatever, but I've got nothing against this for Booker T, all right? Now, I do have a lot against CM Punk. And that would fit him doing what he did backstage would fit his pattern. That's a pattern of his. You know, back in his first run with the WWE, when he did his shit in AEW with the Bucks and the rest of them, and now this. So it would surprise me if what Booker T is saying is the truth about CM Punk, you know, that they have some beef from backstage, you know. That wouldn't surprise me. So, you know, like I said, CM Punk, you're right in comparing him to Blog Talk Radio. You're right.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where I don't know what to think about CM Punk anymore. I don't know what to think about it. There's a small part of me that, again, thinks this could be some kind of work and trying to make it appear as though CM Punk is still controversial and all that stuff, because that's what his fans want, right? His fans want the controversy and the, ooh, we never know what's going to happen backstage and all that stuff. So, I don't know. I'm being informed by Derek that he can't even read what I'm writing in the chat room. Lord help us all if this continues. Anyway, CM Punk, if this is true, cannot be put into an organization like NXT, because he is not a great example for people looking to get into the business. He's the exact opposite. He's a horrible example for people trying to get into the business. An absolute horrible example. I can read the chat. Derek is asking if I can read the chat. I can read the chat. Apparently, no one can see my responses to their chat, so that's just wonderful. Yeah, I don't know, Todd. Do you believe this, or do you think this is Booker T and CM Punk just trying to stir up some publicity?
Like you said about the Booker T and CM Punk thing, and CM Punk always had the bad attitude years ago when he was in the WWE. And like you said, this is, I don't think this is the work. I think this is CM Punk trying to pull this garbage again when he did it in AEW on Collision with him and Jack Perry at the time, him and the Young Bucks legitimately fighting, accusing false allegations against the other people. I don't think this is a work or anything.
Well, if it's not, I'm going to tell you this. There comes a time, I don't care how good you are at what you do, there comes a time when you say, we can't do this anymore. I want you to equate this to a baseball player. Let's say you had a fairly solid pitcher. However, he's very injury prone, and he spends half the season on the bench every year. But when he's not on the bench, he's very good, and the fans like him. But backstage, in the dugout, whatever you want to call it, he's trouble. He gets in fights with other players. He tries to tell everybody else what to do. He will not listen to management. He goes out to the papers and spreads all kind of crap on his teammates. How long do you think that pitcher would be in Major League Baseball? I'll tell you how long. Long enough to clear out his locker. They would put up with this 0.5 seconds. That's how long they would put up with it. And they would say, sorry, we're not putting up with your crap. Here's the thing, folks. There are a select amount of people who get to do professional wrestling for a living. There may be a much wider berth that does it partially for a living or as a side job or, you know, just for fun or whatever it happens to be. But those that can say, I don't make a living any other way, I am a professional wrestler, that's all that I do, is a very select group of people to be in that group. And if you misuse that, then it's time to move on. It's time for that business to say, I'm sorry, we're rejecting this. Now, I'll tell you something about Booker T. He is a guy who has been, in the past, confrontational to people, yes, but this is the same guy who said the very night that Batista and I got into an actual fist fight, Vince McMahon wanted us to work. And I said, I don't have any problem with that. I can go out there and do a match with him and not hurt him and not try to hurt him, and I don't think he's going to try to hurt me. We can be professional and get that match done. And he said part of the reason, not all the reason, part of the reason is because we're professionals. The other part of the reason was because we were damn sure afraid of Vince McMahon. And we knew that if we didn't, our ass is our elbow, okay? No fear now. No fear. They're going to mollycoddle their workers, and they're going to let them get away with bloody murder if they can make some money for them, because this is different now. WWE is different now. So if CM Punk is having trouble backstage with Hall of Famers, not just with punk kids who don't want to listen. I mean, that's what the thing was about Jack Perry, right? Oh, he's a punk kid. He doesn't want to listen. He's a punk kid who won't take advice from a pro. He's a punk kid who won't take advice from a veteran. Punk kid who won't take advice from a veteran. Or is Booker T a guy who's been around even longer than CM Punk, has worked with people he despised, has always been a professional, has always done his best, and pretty much kept things to himself. And now we hear this. So now what's the excuse for CM Punk? There isn't one. It's absolutely ludicrous. Anyway, a little bit of sad news. Apparently, and this is not a work, this is the truth, apparently CJ Perry and Miro are splitting up after, 7 years of marriage. And that is a damn shame. And this is one of the main reasons, folks. This is one of the main reasons why wrestling in general usually doesn't want to portray a couple like a Randy Savage and Elizabeth, because they don't know where your real life relationship's going. So let's say they were still in WWE and they were like the first couple, you know, they were like, oh wow, we're involved in a major deal and we're, you know, supposed to be husband and wife and everything. And then this happens and it gets out, which is going to get out. It just ruins it. So this is why wrestling is very skeptical about doing these relationship stories that are real. But bigger than that, obviously, is that they said they're still going to be friends, and they're nobody did anything horrible. I guess it just happened. But that changes things, doesn't it? Because at one point we were saying Miro appears to be extraordinarily unhappy. And I would argue that for a while it looked like he was looking to get fired. Constantly saying I'm hurt, not being able to participate, not really saying too kind of things about AEW, and I'm saying he's just waiting to be released. And I thought perhaps CJ Perry was just over there for a short period of time. Maybe they brought her over there to try to appease him, and if that didn't work, I thought we may see the return of Rusev and Lana very soon in WWE. That now appears to be completely out the window. You may see one or the other, but it's doubtful now, Mike, that you'll see them both.
Right. I mean, there's a reason Ric Flair's been married 3 or 4 times, you know. I mean, one of the few relationships that have survived, I mean, The Miz has a good relationship with Maurice, you know, but Charmel and Booker T, you know, they've been around, but they've been married for how long now? So
long time.
So go figure. You know, you got some of these things. I mean, look, those people will actually work at their marriage. You know, will survive. Maybe that's what it is. They just decided to quit working at their marriage. I don't know. I'm not a marriage counselor, and I'm not close to those two, so I don't know. But yeah, that's sad to see those two break up. Because once she started there, it was only a matter of time before they put them together. But obviously, you know,
this is why they hesitate sometimes. You know, maybe we weren't privy to some of the things. Maybe this was coming for a long time, and maybe the powers that be that were told, listen, don't put us together. We're having problems. It may not work out. And, you know, this happens on a large scale. It happens on a small scale. In our federation, it happened to us. We had a couple that were part of a group, and they were supposed to be, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend and, you know, solid couple, and they were portrayed that way at heel, but they were portrayed that way. And one, I'll never forget, the big, gigantic match that involved this person having to show how deeply they cared for the other person. Live audience there, backstage, the girl in question comes in and says, thankfully she was a professional, and says, I'm going to go do this. I'm doing this show because there's audiences here, and I'll do it. But I just want you to know that me and this guy are through. And so after tonight, I'm not going to guarantee I'm doing any of this stuff. Changed everything. We had a whole big, long storyline written that was going to eventually turn them face. Couldn't do it. She went out and did her job that night, but so this is why people hesitate, and rightfully so sometimes. So sometimes we'll say, well, why don't they just hook them up? They're married. Or why don't they just do this? This is why. This is why. Shame to see, though, because to me, Todd, they seemed like they were a perfect couple.
Well, you're absolutely right, though. Like you said, I was there, too, when that couple was around. You know,
yes, you were.
And it was just... It wasn't looking good for both sides.
No, listen, it's very tough for us to have to rework that. And so you can imagine if it's on a grander scale like AEW, how hard that would have been, or WWE. Now let's talk a little bit about AEW, because Mercedes Moné made her big debut to 700 and some odd thousand people. That's how many people watch this show. I don't care how many Will Ospreys you get. I don't care how many people you get from New Japan. I don't care how many times you tell me your roster is stacked like no other roster in the history of professional wrestling. All that may be true. You aren't drawing people. Okada's debut clip on YouTube, like 700,000-800,000 people watched it. Will Ospreay, 600,000-700,000 people watched it. Mercedes Moné, I think like 400,000 people watched it. Edge, well over a million. What does that tell you? Mercedes Moné comes out. She's now calling herself the CEO because she can't call herself the boss. And really, fans are lukewarm. You see, what a lot of people do not understand is that when you are put into the WWE environment, they may be controlling. They may tell you how to dress and how to act and how to do your hair and your makeup and how to walk and how to talk and what to say. They may do all those things. But in the long run, it creates a superstar. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes. And when it does create a superstar, like it created Sasha Banks, and then you take all of that away, and you say, well, now you're just Mercedes Moné, and you're out on your own, and you got to do things by yourself, and the AEW is not going to, you know, work out every single thing for you, go out and say what you need to say, and do your hair and makeup the way you want to do it, and all that kind of stuff. Not the same person. It's not the same person. Look how far Edge has fallen. Edge went over there to the grandest welcome. Million-plus people watching his debut. How's that worked out for him? Not well. He's forgotten. Nobody's talking about him anymore. This isn't working. And they better understand it's not working. You can keep right on hiring all the people you want. You can hire all the Okadas and Will Ospreys and Mercedes Monets, all you want. The problem is the shine comes off of them so quickly because you're not using them properly. You don't have the machine in place that helps to boost and create these superstars. So they're almost left in a sea of do-it-yourself, and some of these people don't know how to do it themselves. Now, arguably, there are some people who know how to do it better. The New Day seem to know how to do it better. Stone Cold Steve Austin seem to know how to do it better. But there's an awful lot of wrestlers who don't, and they need that guidance of this is the way you need to look, this is the way you need to dress, this is what you need to say. We need to really create that character. It's almost like a part in a movie. If you went to get a part in a movie, and they told, let's say, Keanu Reeves, they said, okay, your character here for your film is just, you know, just a badass dude. Maybe he's not going to be able to pull off that character. But when it's shaped and sculpted and written for him, and they say, this is his attitude, this is the way he dresses, this is how he lives, that actor can then say, okay, let me try to become that character. But if you don't have a character for him to become to begin with, then what does it turn into? You can't turn into John Wick if you don't know who John Wick is. John Wick has to be written for you. You can take all the stuff that's written, add your own little flair to it, and make that character your own. But if you just say, well, we don't know what the name of the movie is. The name of the movie is John Wick. We don't know who John Wick is. You create John Wick. It may not have been the same character, and it may not have been successful. And now we're seeing this with somebody like Mercedes Moné. She comes out there, you know, and there's just the charisma is not there, Mike.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I mean, when you think Superman, you don't think Henry Cavill, you don't think Tyler Hoechlin, you think Christopher Reeve, right?
Right.
You know, so, you know, when you think Batman, you think, what's his name that played Beetlejuice? Or you think, Adam West, you know? That's how good somebody can play a role, you know. That's how good somebody can play a role. And that's the deal. These are roles they play. I mean, Ashley Fleer is not Charlotte Flair. She's Ashley Fleer, but it's a role, and it fits her, and she plays it well, right? And that's the thing. Asuka plays that role really well. You know, and of course they're in the WWE and the WWE. They have the thing with them that they have the system with them that can get them to be a star. And that's the point. When you don't have that system, like you said, you can't become a star. I mean, yeah, you. For a long time, the biggest star in the company over there at AEW was what's her name, Dr. Britt Baker. You know,
right? Well, see, this is the thing. There are certain wrestlers, like, look at Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt pretty much created that character, or was helped to create that character, and he understood it, and he could do it. There are people who can, but for every person that can, there's probably 10 who really can't, and they need to know who that character is supposed to be. They need to know, what is my motivation? How am I supposed to act? Wouldn't you want to? If you walked into a script and they said, your part is this, this is what your part's character's name is, wouldn't the first thing you ask is, well, who is this character? Oh, we don't know. You create him. Yeah, but it's your movie. Yeah, well, I don't know. You create them. It's up to you. That's very tough. Nobody does that. They have a script. They have a character sheet. They read it. They begin to understand who this character is. They try to, method act it, and they try to become that character. If you have no idea who the character is, how the hell are you supposed to play it? So now you're saying, just Mercedes, just be yourself. Well, herself isn't interesting. That's the problem. Oh, you got a guy like Will Ospreay who says, I'm a professional wrestler. I'm not a character. I'm not an actor. Yeah, well, yeah, you are actually. Tell me again how you're not an actor, Will. So do all those things really hurt? When you're selling, that's not acting. Your facial expressions, your motivation. Do you ever tell somebody that you really like, that's my enemy and I don't like them? Do you act like you hate a person? Do you act like you need revenge on a person? Do you act like you like a person you don't like? Yeah, you do. You're an actor. Get over it. A person like Aaron Rex, Damian Sandow can thrive, even though the federation he was in shut him down, because he clearly understood whatever role I'm given, I have to be entertaining. My ultimate job isn't to win or lose necessarily. It's to entertain. They're just not doing it. Because if you were entertaining, you'd draw more than 750,000 people to your show. I'm sorry. 750, you're not moving the needle at all. This is your fourth year in. And you've actually lost fans. You're literally drawing half, if you're lucky, and sometimes not even half, of what the WWE shows are drawing, at least their TV shows. Why do you suppose that is? Because I'll be honest with you, if you match the rosters up, yeah, you got a very, very competitive roster to the WWE. It's not your roster's fault. Your roster is stacked to the gills with quality A-plus professional wrestlers. They're not interesting. See, the WWE has a way of making it interesting. There are people who have a natural gift for certain things. Most of the people who listen to our show are fans of, pop culture and everything. So let me give you a reference. If you remember John Candy, the comedian, the actor, the comedic actor, John Candy could take a line that is not funny, a line that if you told your friend, oh, guess what he said, your friend would be like, that's not funny. But if you watched him say it, it's funny. He could take a line that at best was eh, and for whatever reason, his delivery, his facial expression, his timing, whatever it happened to be, could take a line that's really not that funny and make it very, very funny. Well, there are wrestlers who can do that. There are wrestlers who can take a character that's questionable and somehow excel with that character. Look at Mark Calloway. If you ever told a person, we got this great idea for a character, he's going to be like a dead man who dresses like an Amish guy, and he's going to be an actual undertaker. We're going to have him, like, you know, literally working on caskets and things, and he's going to have a manager called Paul Bearer who dresses like a Halloween character, and there's going to be an urn, and when they open, when he raises the urn, the undertaker pops up like he's impervious to pain. He's going to be really slow-moving, and he's not really going to say much except rest in peace. He's going to be like Lurch from the Addams Family. You know what most people would have said? Well, number one, that sounds really stupid. Number two, the minute he gets beat, it's over. Number three, you're going to get laughed at. Fans aren't going to take you seriously. That's what would have been said. What happened? Mark Calloway took that character, and for whatever reason, it suited him so well. It's iconic. It's going to go down in history as one of the best ever. It's ideas. Turns into one of the best ever because of who you pick to play him. Put Sid Vicious in that part. It would have lasted a month. This is what I'm saying. AEW has quality wrestlers. They don't have people who work on their characterization because they thumb their nose at that. They say, that's old school wrestling. We don't need characterization. We don't need these people to become actors or play a part. Yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Because without that, Todd, they cease to be interesting, and after a few weeks of seeing all their moves and everything, you're like, yeah, yeah, big deal.
You're absolutely right, though. Like you said about the AEW, they don't use characters. You know, it's just, if it's just what they're doing, they're doing it the wrong way, and you need characters to entertain you and not just to have wrestling matches or anything. You need character in your performance.
I think that's vitally important. I really do. I think it's vitally important that you create a character and that character is endearing. You know, the thing is, you never say, it's so weird because you never say this about like a movie or a TV show. You never tell an actor, just go on there and be yourself. No. Even reality TV, if you think for 1 minute, if you watch The Osbournes, that's really Ozzy Osbourne and his family just being candid, that's ridiculous. They scripted that. He overdid his, you know, bumblingness and everything to be, you know, lovable and whatever. This was all pre-planned to create a character that fans would like. All the little scripting around it, pre-planned. Yeah, I'm sure some reality was in there, but it's still pre-planned. Same way with Ms. and Mrs., same way with all of it. They don't just tell them, go on there and be yourself. Can you imagine just watching Ms. and Mrs. everyday life, and it's just like, oh, well, I'm going to eat and breakfast, and then I'm going to pay the bills, and then I'm going to do this and going to do that. No, you wouldn't watch that. You wouldn't watch that for 5 minutes. Who would? That's the equivalent of being on Facebook and everybody's posting, this is what I had for breakfast. Who the hell cares? But if you create those situations where you say, oh, well, I kind of know who Mike Mizanin is now, and, oh, how is he going to react to this, and how is his wife going to react to that, you've created characters. This is what AEW needs to do, and they need to do it desperately, because just buying other talent and telling them to be themselves is not working for them. The shine has come off so many of their people. And I can't help but think, no matter how bad, you know, Jon Moxley was treated in WWE, they would have had some weird characterization for him right now that would have made people say, ooh, Dean Ambrose is doing this, or Dean Ambrose is doing that, or, ooh, what's going to happen with Ambrose? Nobody's saying that about Jon Moxley. Nobody. This is a problem. AEW's got to address this because you can't keep this up. I mean, you've got to be real with yourself. Any business, I don't care what business it is, I always go back to the old pizzeria or the hot dog stand or the donut shop. You open up and your average customer base is 100 customers a day, and 3 years down the road, after establishing yourself, your average customer base is around 80 to 85, are you being successful or are you going backwards? Do you know what someone who owned a shop like that or a CEO of a company who owned a business like that would say? We're failing. We're going in the reverse. We started out strong, and now, except for a good day here or there, we're actually either holding even or we're underperforming. Instead, Tony Khan comes out and takes a victory bow as if, you know, he's ready to take the WWE down, Mike. I don't understand it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Think about it, you know. There are very few people that just can live their life and people want to watch it, right? And think about it. One of the few that people actually do that with is Asuka. Look at her. Look at how many people watch her YouTube channel. All right?
Yeah.
But Asuka's got charisma, though. That's the point. A lot of these people, yeah, Miz and Mrs., but both of those two people, all of them, including the mother on that show, they all have charisma. All right? They all have charisma. Yeah. A lot of these people don't in WWE don't have, and the ones that don't have it and the ones that do are all from the WWE. I mean, AEW. The ones that do are all from the WWE. You know, Miro and Jericho and Lana and CJ Perry and all these people. I mean, remember, what was Jericho's big deal when he first got there? I'm not a pro wrestler. I'm a sports entertainer.
No, that's absolutely correct. And you're right. There are some people who have natural charisma. There are some people who you could just watch them sit and read a newspaper, and for whatever reason, it's entertaining. But that's not very many people. And even Asuka, on her channel, she makes sure she's doing something that's interesting, where you're saying, well, I'm interested in her opinion on this. I'm interested in her take on this or whatever. And she keeps it short, and it's understandable that people would be interested. But when you're somebody like Mercedes Moné and you've developed this Sasha Banks character, and we know who it's supposed to be and everything else, and now you can't really use some of that because the WWE has kind of copywritten some of that, and you come out and you're just yourself, and yourself is, yeah. Fans are like, well, that's not Sasha Banks, though. See what I mean? Take your favorite show, I don't know, an iconic show, Gilligan's Island. And you say, oh, I love Gilligan's Island. I love Gilligan. And now they're switching him, and he's going to be in a new TV show that's called, he owns a restaurant. That's not Gilligan. And then he comes out, and you're like, well, that's not the person I remember. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Ed O'Neill is not Al Bundy. And we're interested in Al Bundy. So when you're interested in Dean Ambrose and you get John Moxley, you're interested in Sasha Banks and you get Mercedes Moné. It's not the same. And you begin to feel like, well, somebody changed the character. You know when you watch a soap opera and that actor leaves and it's just a different actor? And you're like, I can't accept that. That's not the same. Well, that's sort of what you're looking at here. Only this is the same person, but it's not the same character. And you just don't feel like there's a connection anymore because you got to know them as that character. Can you imagine if The Undertaker just went to AEW and became Mean Mark Callis? And you'd be like, that's not interesting. It's not the same. It just doesn't work. That's how that's how you fail. So then the AEW says, well, I'm just going to hire a whole bunch of people who aren't characters. Yeah, okay. And they're really good wrestlers, but at the end of the day, they don't have the charisma to draw fans. Because if they did, Edge has nothing but charisma, right? Edge at 50 years old, with a limited amount of time in the business and all kinds of injuries, goes over to AEW. And his debut not only draws a lot of people to that initial show, but the YouTube clip of him returning breaks 1.5 million views. Why do you think that is? Because he's Edge. You can call him Adam Copeland all you want. He's still acting like Edge. But when a guy like Will Ospreay just comes over and says, yeah, I'm Will Ospreay. You know who I am. I'm a really good wrestler. Okay, well, nobody's interested. And you're lucky to get 500,000 people watching it. That's the difference. That's the difference, folks. Now, Mercedes Moné did not help her cause any with the people in the locker room. Because what does she say on an interview just before her debut? She does an interview with some blog show somewhere, and she says, oh, I'm definitely going to be back in that WWE. I'm not finished there. I know I'll be back there. Oh, great. Before you debut in AEW, you literally have the hubris to say, ah, this is just a speed bump. I'll get back to the WWE. That's my ultimate goal. Well, that's very nice. I'm sure everybody in that dressing room is just so happy that you said that. Even if that's what you meant, you don't say it out loud. If somebody asked me the question and I said, God, I wish I could get back to the WWE, but for right now I'm going to sign in with AEW. And somebody said, hey, Marcus, you think you'll ever be back in the WWE someday? You know what I'd say? Well, listen, I never say never to anything, but my focus now is AEW and making this my home and doing the best job I can to make this the best product I can. That's it. That's your answer. So this chucklehead, oh, of course I'm going to be back there. I'm not done there. I got a lot more wrestling to do in all kinds of different federations. Oh, great. I mean, you can't get much stupider than that, Mike. I just don't know what the hell she was thinking.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, you got to feel that they knew, whoever asked the question knew what the answer was going to be when you asked it, when they asked the question, right? They knew it. You know, they knew she was going to answer that way, so they asked the question. In court, you don't ask a question unless you know the answer, right? When you go to court and you watch your lawyer, they ask specific questions direct examination, they ask specific questions that they feel they know the answers to, and they don't stray from that method. This guy, whoever it was that asked that question to Sasha Banks, whatever, Mercedes Moné, I believe her name is Renato or whatever her name is in real life, probably knew he was going to get that answer. He or she was going to get that answer.
Well, irregardless of that, it's an answer should never have been given. Should never have been given. Now a little more Booker T news. This one isn't true. Booker T, the bearer of bad news this episode. Booker T claims that Sami Zayn is upset with the fans. And if this is true, then Sami Zayn is a chucklehead. I'm tired of these. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. I know, one or two people have written me saying you're kind of mean sometimes to people. But I'm fed up. I'm fed up with coddling people. And, how stupid can you be before somebody has to call you out on being stupid? And if this is true, this is just stupid. Sami Zayn apparently said, I'm very disappointed in the fans. I thought they really loved me, but I got a mixed reaction when I won that match against the gauntlet match, and now I'm really depressed about it. Well, what the fuck did you think was going to happen? Have you lost your goddamn mind? If you were that worried about it, you should have went to the WWE who booked it and said, can we not put me and Chad Gable as the last two people? Because I think it's going to split the reaction of the fan. And we don't want that, right? We want me being the, solid favorite. So can we have Chad Gable eliminated before me coming in or whatever? Because while it's going to be a great match, it's going to split the fans. If you're that worried about it, Sammy, you didn't know that was going to happen. You're sitting backstage saying they're going to boo. Chad Gable, because he wants to make up the loss in front of his children at the hands of Gunther. You didn't think that was going to make him one of the favorites? You didn't think the majority, or at least a small majority of people, think that's a more entertaining story than you? Well, what's your story? Sami Zayn's story going into this match is, I don't know if I'm good enough anymore. I really have to prove it to myself that I'm good enough. So I'm going to take on the big bad Gunther, who nobody's been able to defeat, and I'm so determined to prove to people I'm not just a mid-carder, that I'll rise to the occasion. Chad Gable's story is, I should have beaten Gunther. I had Gunther beaten. I lost, devastated my family and my children in the front row, to which Gunther laughed at them and made fun of them. And I owe it to my family to have that moment back. Which do you think is the more entertaining story, Sammy? Which do you think the fans are going to go for? I mean, you'd have to be goddamn brain dead to not see that even though they very much love Sami Zayn, that this is a more interesting story. It's not the fans not loving Sami Zayn. It's the fans saying the better story is Chad Gable. God, you can't see that? That's the fans' fault again. Fans should have turned on Chad Gable and started chanting Gable sucks, and then Sammy would have been happy. I don't know. I do know this: wrestling isn't always logical, and wrestlers aren't always smart. I will never forget the time. You know, I won't mention the name of the federation to embarrass them. But I went down to a wrestling federation in which there was a competitor who was supposed to be like this giant. Well, he was a giant. He was damn near 7 foot tall, and he was like this Egyptian guy. Threw around like four guys in the ring. You know, spit at the fans' direction. His manager was saying, he's unbeatable. No one will ever beat him. And these four guys just slapped him, got slapped around like they were garbage. On the way out of the ring, the next wrestler was coming in. And that wrestler was fairly known in the independent circuit, but he's a heel. And they have a big stare down. And now when this wrestler gets in the ring, fans are cheering him. And this wrestler personally told me I got in trouble for that. They said to me, we had no plans on turning you face. You got to get over as a heel. And he said, how the hell do you want me to get over as a heel when you told me to have a stare down with some guy who literally just insulted the whole audience, beat up four of your workers, was told, the fans were told he was invincible, and then here comes me to kind of stare him down. You didn't think the fans were going to take my side? You set me up to be a face in this situation. He's absolutely correct. And I told him so. I said, you have no fault in this. Of course the fans were going to cheer for you. Well, when you have Chad Gable come out and make an emotional speech about how he is going to make this up to his daughter, do you honestly think that the fans aren't going to side with him, Sammy? Do you honestly think if the fans side with him, it means they hate you? I don't know what to say. I'm just dumbfounded by the ignorance that some people display sometimes, and I hope that this, again, is Booker T over-exaggerating it, but it wouldn't surprise me, Mike.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. Think about it, you know. I mean, we know Booker T tends to exaggerate and stuff like that, but, again, in this case, maybe not. I don't know. You know, and as far as you're talking about charisma and stuff like that, I mean, think about it. I mean, you can give Otis anything in the world, and he probably could get it over because it's just something about him. I mean, when he was dating Mandy Rose, well, there you go. He got that over. Now he's sort of gotten the same thing with what's her name? And he's getting that over, you know. He got over as a kind of a a stone face, big stone face heel guy, you know. So there are people that can get stuff over. Just they're just few and far between that are that good at getting anything you give them over. I mean, we talk about Aaron Rex. I mean, who would ever have thought that he would have gotten that whole stunt man gimmick over, you know?
I know. Yeah, amazing. But you can't, I mean, if the WWE said, okay, here's what we're booking. Dominic Mysterio is going to come out. He's going to call every fan in the audience an idiot. He's going to tell them to stop booing him. He's going to scream and yell how his father's this and his father's that and fans are ignorant and everybody else in the audience sucks. And then as he's leaving, Bronson Reed's coming out, and Dominic tells him to get the hell out of the way, and Bronson Reed's like, then make me. Who do you think the fans are going to side with? And then if you say, well, Bronson, you're supposed to get over the big heel. How come they're cheering you? That's your fault. No, it's not. Learn how to write. But better than that, learn how to interpret the writing. Sammy, the writing was on the wall. If you were so concerned that this match ending with you and Chad Gable was going to divide the audience's emotions, then you should have went to the WWE writers and voiced that concern and said, don't you think this is going to take away from my pop? Don't you think that it would be better if somehow Chad Gable's eliminated ahead of time so that the last guy in the ring is somebody the fans really don't like and don't think I can beat? That's all. Then the WWE is either going to say, yeah, you're right about that, or they're going to say, tough. We don't care if it divides the fans. That's what we want. And then your job is to do what the fuck you're told. But you don't say, I don't understand this. How could the fans not cheer me and boo Chad Gable? Oh, come on. And if you're a grown man and you're traumatized by this, to the point where you're on the bus afterwards, literally whining about it, there's something mentally wrong with you. Now, a couple of people that I've ran this story by said, stay tuned, there might be more to this story. This may be Booker T helping an angle. There may be something with Chad Gable being added to this match and Sami Zayn being resentful of it. Be cautious, you might be being worked by Booker T. It's possible. Possible, then ignore everything I said because it's irrelevant. But if I take it at face value and all this is true, Sami Zayn's being ignorant. If this is some kind of an elaborate work, then good for you. But I don't know. I sort of feel it isn't, Todd. I feel Sami's the type of person who would take umbrage to this.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, it sounds like Sami Zayn got some, I don't want to say it, but he has mental issues. And, you know, and not just that, I think he's being immature. If he's being immature about this, it's all on him.
See, that's my feeling. I mean, can you imagine if you're saying, well, Randy Orton is coming out and he's going to fight L.A. Knight, and having L.A. Knight say, now, if L.A. Knight said, isn't this going to hurt my face push? I understand. I understand his concern. But if the WWE says, no, this is the way we want it to be, and half the fans are cheering Randy Orton, or three-quarters of the fans are cheering Randy Orton, it would be kind of stupid for L.A. Knight to be like, I thought the fans liked you. You know they're going to cheer Randy. You already know it's set up. If the WWE wants it that way, then that's the way they want it. You can argue with the booking, but you can't argue with the fan reaction because you had to see it coming. Right? So I don't know, Mike, you know, could be a work, but it doesn't seem that way. They're not mentioning anything about, you know, the shoulders of Chad Gable being clearly up during that match.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, look, this whole situation, in some respects, reminds me of the Royal Rumble, when Roman Reigns wins the Royal Rumble by throwing out Daniel Bryan and all that stuff, when clearly fans wanted Daniel Bryan to win, you know,
yes.
And what happened? They wanted him to get cheered, and that's what started the whole booing of Roman Reigns, because we thought they were forcing him down our throats, right?
Yeah.
So that this type of thing can backfire on a wrestler, like it backfired on the company.
It can absolutely backfire. My point is, like, for instance, Seth Rollins. When Seth Rollins was a face and The Fiend and him were going to go into that Hell in a Cell, Seth Rollins said, I went to Vince and the writers and said, if I win this match, I'm a heel. I don't care if you think that The Fiend is a heel. I'm telling you that the fans are on his side. And if I win this match, they're going to boo me. So if you want me to be a heel, then fine. You continue with this program, and I'm telling you, they're going to boo me. If you want me to continue to be a face, I either got to lose or something else is going to happen because they're going to be on the side of the Fiend. The WWE decided, no, Seth, you're wrong. Go ahead and do what we said, and what happened? They booed Seth Rollins out of the building. He was absolutely correct. But he voiced his concern to the right people. He didn't say, the fans are wrong for booing me. He said, I know what the fans are going to do. I already know what this is going to do. And I wish you wouldn't if you want to keep me a face, professional. If Sami Zayn went there and said, I think this is going to kill some of my face pop, because there's secretly a lot of these people going to be rooting for Chad. Are you sure you want to do this? And they said yes, and then it was a 50-50 reaction. He should have said, I told the powers that be, not the fans' fault. I told them that's what would happen. Instead, he chooses to say, it's the fans' fault again. I don't get it, Mike.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, look, if anybody felt like they were wrong, should feel like they were wrong in this thing, it would be Chad Gable, because like you said, he has the better story. I'm not saying that Sami Zayn's story is a crap story. No. I'm just saying Chad Gable's story is better. All right?
Yep.
It's a magnetic story. It draws people into it, you know?
Yep. And if Sami Zayn does not realize that out of the two stories, his is the least of the two, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you can't interpret wrestling writing. Seth Rollins had no problem. Seth was one of the biggest faces, and he said, I'm telling you, if you put me in that Hell in a Cell with The Fiend, I'm the heel. I'm telling you, especially if I win, they're going to boo me. He was right, because Seth Rollins understands the crowd. He doesn't blame the crowd. He anticipates. He understands what the crowd will do. That's what makes Seth Rollins as big as he is. He gets it. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We're sorry about the Blog Talk screw-ups. Hopefully it's corrected for Sunday, and we'll be right back here with more Wrestle Chat Radio.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio.